the center of our faith, and really the reason we exist, can be summed up in one word: love. But not just any love, not the love the way the world thinks of love, but the way God loves. Scripture brings this home to us over and over again. Today we read it in this very famous passage of St. John in his first letter, where he tells us very simply, God is love. And when we take that central truth about who God is and his very being, that in everything he does, everything he is about love, and then we remember that Genesis tells us that in the beginning God created man in his own image. So we see that we are created in the image of God who is love, which means that you and I are fundamentally created to live in the image of God, to love as God loves. But in order to know how to love as God loves, to be like God, God first has to reveal himself to us and to teach us to love as he does. So in the Old Testament, when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, we find that they're not just an arbitrary set of rules, but a true revelation of who God is, how he lives and loves, and how he created us to live and love. And then when Jesus entered the world, he completed the revelation of who God is, not coming, as he tells us, to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law, not to throw out the Ten Commandments and the moral law, but to explain it, to help us to understand it more deeply. And his explanation comes most sublimely in today's gospel. First, he tells us to obey the Ten Commandments. He says, you will live in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. Notice that to Jesus, to love and to keep the commandments are mutually inclusive. And also notice that Jesus goes on to clarify the commandments by pointing to himself. He who is the law made flesh, he who is love made flesh, he points to himself and says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus teaches us how to love by his own example, first by keeping the Ten Commandments in his own life, and then by his own ultimate act of love. As he tells us also in today's gospel, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus has loved us in the greatest way by laying down his life for us, his friends, on the cross. So that he teaches us loving as Christ loves, loving as God loves, is not living for ourselves, but living for the good of God and for our neighbor. And that's what the cross is all about, the sacrifice, sacrificing out of love. To be who we were created to be, we must live in his example, in love as God the Son loves. We must lay down our lives for God and also for our neighbor. Lay down our lives of sin, and rise up in the life of love lived out in the commandments. And when we see the commandments this way, when we see that they are about love and not just a bunch of arbitrary rules, we remember that in the Old Testament, at the end of the Ten Commandments, as they're listed out in the Bible, right at the end is the summary, and that is the famous, you shall love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments are a specification of loving God, how you love God and how you love your neighbor. If you love God, you won't have false gods before him. First rule, right? If you love your neighbor, you won't kill him. Basic rules. But then we remember that it's a law of love, and so it means more than that. So not only don't you not kill your neighbor, but you also don't hurt your neighbor. You don't even call your neighbor ugly names. So Jesus says, you have heard you should not kill, but I say to you, if you call your brother Raca, you will be subject to the fires of hell. And then he says, not only don't you hurt them, but if they're hungry, you should not let them die of starvation. You should feed them. I was hungry, and you gave me food. The commandments begin with the basics, but they have different meaning, a richer meaning. The letter of the law stays. You shall not kill, but also you shall not hurt, you shall not starve, etc. You shall help. The law of love. Now, it's easy to lose sight of all this nowadays. In our world, love usually has very little to do with sacrifice. Love is usually reduced to a feeling that makes you happy or makes you feel good. And love is hardly ever at all equated with following the commandments. Really, on the contrary, love is usually seen as an uncontrollable impulse that leads us to do whatever attracts us. And the commandments just get in the way. But when you're tempted to tell God, who is love, that he doesn't know what love is about, or to tell the creator of man that he doesn't know how his creature was meant to live, then maybe it's time you admit to yourself that maybe you're being a little selfish, a little prideful, a little illogical. Sadly, not only do we often confuse the irrational feelings we have with true love, sometimes we even confuse true love with hate. So that all too often, if you speak about the commandments, you're accused of hate speech. And even sometimes called unchristian. But the thing is, the commandments are not hateful, and they're not certainly unchristian. If anything, to talk about the commandments is Christ-like. To tell someone the truth, especially the truth about the commandments, is the most loving thing, the most Christ-like thing we can do. Think about it. Jesus loved everyone. He even loved the scribes and Pharisees, but he said to them, remember, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you serpents, you whitewashed tombs, you brood of vipers. That sounds not very nice, but it's not hate speech. It's really the language of love. We might call it today tough love. As scripture tells us, the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. Now, of course, we can use the commandments to, you know, as a bludgeon sometimes. We can use them in the wrong context. We can use them to condemn someone to hell, right? That kind of thing. We're not supposed to. That's not charitable. The commandments are about love. So whenever we talk about the commandments, we have to remember to speak with charity. Especially when we're talking to the world that doesn't understand what we're talking about in the first place. But that doesn't mean we can't be passionate about it. Yet so often when people disagree over something passionately, especially when they strongly and forcefully argue and even fight to defend what they believe is right, too many times a day, again, they're called hateful. Some people in the world believe today that all fighting is hateful. But sometimes fighting, even war itself, is about love. Love for one's friends, one's country, or for the defenseless, or the persecuted, or for one's ideals. Think about it over the history of our nation. How many people have died because they loved us and were fighting to defend us? They laid down their life for their friends. Now some might say, well, Father, Jesus said, love your enemies. But the thing is, you can love your enemies. You can love someone and still fight him when he's wrong or doing something evil. For some, that's hard to understand. How can you love your neighbor and still fight with him? One of the best examples I've seen of this, where it was lived out vividly and dramatically, was a story told about our soldiers in Iraq a few years back. I've heard this story told as soldiers, which means the Army, and then others have said it's the Marines, so I don't mean to offend anybody, so I'll just use soldier as a generic term, okay? But one of the embedded reporters in the Iraq invasion, what was that, 15 years ago, told the story of how a company of U.S. soldiers had been fighting in, I believe it was Fallujah, door to door, and then they were told to go and to protect this mosque that was in the middle of town, a particularly sacred mosque to the people there. But the people heard that they were going to capture the mosque. And so the Muslim citizenry came out and stand around it to defend the mosque, which is admirable. I would hope that we would stand around our church if we were being, you know, someone was going to come in and take over our church. This is what the reporter for Time magazine said. These soldiers had just fought an all-night battle. They were exhausted, tense, and prepared to crush any violence with violence of their own. But when their commander ordered them to take a knee, point their weapons to the ground, and start smiling, that is exactly what they did. Since then, he writes, I have often wondered how we created an army of men who could fight with ruthless savagery all night and then respond so easily to an order to smile while under impending threat. Close quote. It's hard for people to understand all this. It seems natural for a man who fights to vent his anger and rage uncontrolled, to let his feelings of anger dictate his actions. That would be a logical deduction of the feel-good culture that we're slipping into. But thank God there remains a few remnants and effects of the Christian culture that formed us. This, my friends, is loving your neighbor par excellence. They fought the enemy for what they believed to be right and necessary with the most devastating of martial skill, willing to lay down their lives for the defense of their country. But when the time for fighting stopped, they were not ruled by their feelings, not feelings of anger or even fear, as their own lives were still in danger. But instead, even though it meant an added risk of laying down their lives, they were ruled by the echo of the words of our Lord that formed this country. Love one another as I have loved you. Love your enemies. If only our whole society could return to these Christian roots, to understand that love is something more than feeling good, but rather about being good and doing good for one another. Love is not about doing as you please, but about doing what is pleasing to God, who is love. If we do what God wants, we will be loving. We will be doing what is right and good. We will become like God. We will become like the creatures that we were created to be. If only we learned that the greatest love involves sacrifice, laying down your life for your friends, loving one another as Jesus has loved us. As we read today's gospel and contemplate on the meaning of Christ's commandment of love, we should remember the context that we read this in. It's right in the middle of Jesus' sermon and prayer at the Last Supper, the first Mass. There he was praying that perfect love would be restored between God and man by the perfect act of love between God and man that was about to happen by his death on the cross, where God the Son laid down his life for love of his friends, but also for his enemies, those men who nailed him to the cross, Caiaphas, Pontius Pilate. They were his enemies, but he died to save them from their sins. At the Last Supper, Jesus anticipated that sacrifice, both in his prayer and his actions, so that today, 2,000 years later, we can come together here at Mass and enter into the sacred mystery of that sacrificial love. In this most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, love incarnate, Jesus Christ, comes into our bodies and fills us with the perfect love of the cross. Today, as you receive him in the Eucharist, truly his true body, open your heart to be transformed by the love of the cross. Transformed into the person you were intended to be in the beginning, when man was created in the image of God, who is love. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.